You are listening to The Sharing Project, and I'm your host, Kristen. Join me as I share kindred conversations with inspirational people in my life. We'll discuss the meaning of life, our soul's purpose, making big decisions. Big decisions. That is a big decision to say big decisions. And living as our most authentic selves. Welcome.
A quick warning that this episode contains a conversation regarding self-harm. Hello, people. Welcome back. So glad you've come for part two of my conversation with Emily, my friend. In our first episode, which was episode two of my podcast, we talked about, you know, loving ourselves as we are and letting our light shine. This time we get into the shadow side. So what does it look like when we love ourselves when we're not shiny and pretty, and even when we're like ugly and do things that we shouldn't do? So we get into mom rage, we get into perfectionism, and you know, we had a really, really great conversation in the midst of really busy weeks for both of us, and I'm really glad that we ended up doing it. So thanks for being here. Check it out, listen. And check out the show notes for some links to the things we were talking about. And I hope you enjoy.
Okay, here we are. We're back with Emily Lewis. And I want to start by reiterating that I'm so glad that you pressured me to do this today. I loved your message. It was like, no pressure, but we really have to do this. And I'm glad you did, because I was really ready to come home and just like veg, because I'm so tired. And like with Halloween being on Monday and just like all the work this week, I just felt like we had a really good excuse to not to just rain check this again. But I like that you like held us to our intention to do this and just to do it anyway. And like it got me thinking about our topic today, because we're talking about when we're less than shiny. And like, I was thinking okay, I'm tired. I was feeling frumpy and grumpy. And I was like, no, I should hide that self. Like that self should not come out and be on a video and be on a podcast. Like, you know, so I think it's actually a perfect setting for us to talk about our topic today, which is like the last time we met, we talked about like loving ourselves and like letting ourselves shine and all the goodness, all the greatness, all the glory. But then there's the other side of self-awareness, right? Where we see things about ourselves that we might not like, but how do we still love those parts of ourselves? How do we love all of us, even the parts that we have determined for whatever reason are not acceptable or presentable? And I wanted to share a quick other little side thing with the people listening about our friendship, because after we did our last session, I was saying that
I like your philosophy. I think it's very poetic that we're less than shiny today, but we're going to push through anyway, because that's, you know, you asked how do we love ourselves when we're less than shiny, and I don't want to cut you off because I am
good
at that sometimes.
No, go.
But I think, well, one of the things I thought about is this is so Dr. Seussian sounding, but there's only one you, and there's only one me, and you are as you as you can be, and any part of you that wasn't there wouldn't be you anymore. So if there are less than shiny parts, everybody's got less than shiny parts, right? We have, how boring would it be if we were all, that's such a cliche thing to say, but it's true. And so maybe they don't have to be our favorite parts, and maybe we don't have to like write them a Valentine's card, but we can have them and acknowledge them and see them and accept them and accept ourselves. And There's that answer. So let's just move on. That's that hard thing. Let's move on to the next. Handled that
done.
One.
That's our entire episode. Done. We're done. Solved and sealed. Well, and you know, it sounds obviously.
That's how you love yourself.
And that's it. We solved it. It sounds a lot
really
easier
easy.
Than done, right? Like, because I think a couple things. I think for a lot of us, I'll just speak for myself, like, you know, and I even see this in like how I parent my children, right? Like there are parts of me, well, that's the healthy approach, of course, to say all the parts are worthy, you're valuable no matter what. But then there's the shadow, right? There's the place where we tuck all the things that we think we're not supposed to be because those things didn't meet our parents' approval or our teacher's approval or whatever, right? And we think we're only allowed to show mm-hmm. these pretty parts and not those bad parts. And I was starting to say earlier when we were having the sound problem is that one of the things that brought us together as friends, because I was reflecting on this after our first episode, was that we bonded on our parenting struggles. We bonded specifically, and I don't know how much you are willing or wanting to share about this today, but like I will say, like
it's fine.
The mom rage, right? Like I remember in our Moms Club Facebook group, I started posting things like with the hashtag Moms Get Real, and I feel like that really opened a door. I remember.
Oh my God, I totally forgot about that hashtag. Ugh.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that opened a door for you and I
about it. Yeah.
To connect and say, hey, like here are some of my shadowy parts that are coming out in motherhood that I don't like, that remind me maybe of my upbringing or, you know, just all the things we said we wouldn't do. And obviously, like for me, those are still things that I'm struggling with. I get better. I'm growing and I'm learning, but there's still like a lot of ugliness, right? Like for example, this morning, my kids are like mad and sad because I'm rushing them. They don't like to be rushed. But then I'm ranting because I'm like, well, you don't do the things I say to do. You know, I'm going to have to rush you. I give you a 15-minute warning, a 10-minute warning, a 5-minute warning. You know, I'm on one of my mom rants and explaining to them, yeah, why I am now left with only this option, or that I think, right, of raging on them. And my raging is more subtle these days. It's more of just like me like rushing them or being impatient. But, you know, that's not something I'm proud of. That's not something – like I notice on my way to school to drop them off in the morning, like I'm moody or I'm mad or I'm peeved at them, right, or the situation. And then as soon as I get to school, it's like, good morning. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody, you know. And it's like, how does that look from their perspective, that like mom is a total grump in the car? And then as soon as I'm on stage, right, as soon as I'm on around the public, then I turn on the shiny self, right? So I'm trying to get better at that, like that when I am with my kids and I have messed up and I have, you know, reacted out of my darker, shadowy self, that I'm able to say to them, hey, you guys, you know what? I'm really sorry. Like this morning, I was just like, look, I took a deep breath and I was like, look, I was rushing you. I was harsh with you. That was wrong. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. Like fix that so that when I do go out in public and like put on a little shiny face, they're not like, well, what the hell, mom? Like, why couldn't you do that for us, right? Mm. Why couldn't you like give us more of your good side? So anyway, I'm just rambling about that. But, you know, I know that's one of the things that connected us early on as women is being able to be honest about our struggles with like with our feelings of frustration or anger or whatever it was, you know, as new moms. Do you want to speak to that at all about how, like what you remember about that and kind of how that's going for you now?
Yeah, I would love to. It's funny because so many, we live such a parallel life. But I'm going to try to remember all the points, because it goes all the way back to the beginning of our conversation when you said that you are grateful that I said no pressure, but like we have to, because we had sort of a ladies agreement, which has gotten, you know, the more consistent we are, the more it seems that we want to honor it, which is we're going to hold each other accountable when it comes to this podcast and our own perspective podcasts, because it's something we both desire to do, but we have reasons and excuses why, you know, we can't do it, be it we're tired or schedule change or this. And in recent, you know, months and weeks, we have done a decent job at holding each other accountable. Hold on. That was going somewhere. Give me a break. Give me a second.
Take your time.
So we talked about here, bring me back a little bit. The beginning of what you said. Oh, thank you. Got it. Okay. So with the accountability, you were getting ready to record this episode, which would be your third episode, our second episode. And I started my podcast before you, and I still haven't got my second episode out. And I had started recording it two different times, and, you know, props, major pats on my own back for doing it, you know, for even, you know, getting through the struggle and finding new equipment and testing and da da da. But there was just something that didn't feel, because I was doing a, like I was just talking. I wasn't interviewing anybody or anything. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't feeling authentic. So then I decided the third and final time I went about recording it. So that was a long way to say just thanks for the accountability and holding me to it. But the funny thing is, the poetic thing is the third time I recorded it and I stopped being some sort of imaginary guru, or I don't know. I was like, I found myself offering advice, like, what can we do to support one another? And I'm like, that's not what I'm here for. I'm here to talk about myself. Why am I pretending that I'm Glennon Doyle? Because she's my, yeah, all three of those women. Anyway,
they're all amazing, but we have them
that we decided they're a lesbian. We love them. So we have some friends. They're a lesbian couple. They're married. They love the pod. And so one was like, yeah, I'm basically, you know, she's like, anyway, so we deemed her Abby. And then the other lady was Glennon. And I was like, I'll be sister. so like we're big fans over here.
Huge.
But I recorded this second episode of my own podcast, and it was – I wasn't putting on a mask. I didn't do a treatment for it. I just went for it. And I ended up talking about my rage, which is tied to something else. And you'll have to tune in to figure it out.
I will.
But it's really interesting that you bring that up, because it has been such a part of my journey. And I definitely remember this part of our relationship. I didn't recall that it was the hashtag moms get real. But now that you say that, of course I remember that entire situation. Mm-hmm. Hopefully I'm sounding okay. We get
my you sound great.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks. So I remember that you and I just connected on an honest level of, yes, the parenting struggles, but there was also comfort. I just felt safe with you and maybe it was because we were experiencing similar things, but it was mostly because you're just – I don't really feel that you're very judgmental in those – I don't feel like you're very judgmental at all. So it's a very safe place to open up. And then when you yourself are vulnerable, I'm like, oh. And then when you add on the cherry on top that we are both going through this thing that seemingly nobody else goes through, because I don't know about you, but I Googled, I did all sorts of searches looking for something to help me feel sort of not totally wrong, not mm-hmm. to say that it was good behavior, the rage that I experienced, but it certainly wasn't abusive. Well, probably prolonged periods of that is, but I wasn't, you know, beating anybody or cursing anybody out, but behaving, yelling and snapping and blowing my fuse much sooner than I wanted to. And I would play these scenes in my head and just torture myself, just beat myself up. And I would look on Google, I would look on forums and all sorts of stuff, parenting books, looking for somebody to normalize me or to say, you know, everybody goes through this. There's everything saying that postpartum depression is normal. There's mm-hmm. everything saying disassociation from your child is normal. Depression's normal. Anxiety is normal. All these different things are normal, but nobody's talking about this anger except my friend Kristen. And that was really lovely. And I would say that was easily 5, maybe 6 years ago, and a lot has changed, I would say, in the social media space around this. Mm-hmm. There's pages that yeah. I have since discovered, thank God is right, like mm-hmm. Motherly and the Holistic Psychologist. And mm-hmm. There's so many different pages, but I've really tailored my feed to be uplifting. So that's one thing that I do in my world, because I do spend time on social media. I do find joy in it. I enjoy creating content, but what I don't enjoy is seeing things that make me feel like I'm not doing a good enough job. Mm-hmm. That, you know, I love gentle parenting. I'm all for gentle parenting, but the sites that are just completely BS, that are like, we've never raised our voice at our child. I'm like, great. Well, we have nothing in common. So
yeah.
Bye, you know.
Yeah, pretty much.
this isn't going to work for me. I remember learning that on the podcast. I think it was the podcast. It might have been her book. Might have been Untamed. But she talked about just get rid of that shit. Like, just get rid of the stuff that doesn't serve you, because mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. energy is everything, right? Mm-hmm. And so I remember seeing a post that was about how terrible sleep training is, which is another topic for another time. And I responded because I was like, you know, I very seldom do I respond to these nobody influencers. I'm coloring on a napkin. It's what I do.
Yeah, doodle. You got a doodle.
But I did, because it really triggered me. And I said, you know how many mothers are out there that have already sleep trained their children, and we can't go back, and you coming on the internet and saying that we've, you know, permanently damaged our child's nervous system is just damaging us more and causing us to doubt ourselves and, you know, it's circular. It's cyclical. It's going to damage, you know, I'm damaged. I'm going to damage my kid. And then, you know what I mean? Like, let's just stop with all the opinions and all the expertise around. And I unfollowed her. She blocked me. Whoop-de-doo. But
you didn't need that anyway.
Then I unfollowed her. And then I didn't need that anyway. But then mm-hmm. I unfollowed a woman who was like, 3 kids, 6 abs, I'm so tan, and look at me dance. And I was like, I cannot. And so I deleted her, right? So we tailor our stuff for our needs. Anyway, absolutely. I could say so much more on the topic of rage, and I will, but I figure mm-hmm. you might appreciate if I came up for air.
I love it. No, I love it. I love when you dive deep, and I go there with you all the time. And when you say, oh, I'm rambling, or I'm like, no, you're good. I'm with you. I'm there. Yes, the issue of the rage. And there's
that. Like, I know that's not what this podcast is about, but that is why, like, this podcast is not to talk about how much I cherish you, but or why our friendship is so deep. But sure that is. Right there, that is like, I just, you see me and I see you, and I, as somebody once said, tracking. I think I did that on the last episode. Did I do that?
Yeah.
Tracking.
You know, when I was in middle school, I got a really nice compliment from a boy. I still remember his name was Donnie Driano, And he said to me, you
just your face.
You like everybody. He said to me, you like everybody. He was complimenting me. I don't, there's probably more to it than that, but he was just like, you like everybody. You don't hate anybody. And I remember thinking, you know what, Don Adriano? That's true. Like you said that I don't seem judgmental. And I think that, I think that's accurate. I think I do. I still judge. I could still be very judgmental, but I try so hard to give people the benefit of the doubt, sometimes to a fault. And, because I don't know, I just think we're all complex and we all need to, we need to bring our shadows to the light. And like you're saying about the mom rage, the mom shaming thing, like anytime we're being shamed for something, like we then want to hide that thing. That thing does not deserve to come to the light. But then when we take our negative things, right, and we bring them to the light and we're willing to look at them and talk about them with other people like you and I have been able to, then those things, they're not so scary anymore. You know, it's like turning the lights on. Mm-mm. In the haunted house, and all of a sudden, yeah, you're like, oh, that's it? And
looking at it, yeah.
Oh, and like, so what you're saying about unfollowing any of those judgy, even if they're subtly judgy, I'm better than you, holier than thou. And I admit that I've definitely gone through waves in my life of feeling that I'm better than people, but it's not because I want to be better than people. It's because I thought I had to be that to be worthy, right? Like I had to be perfect, mm-hmm, and present a perfect performance in order to be worthy. So it wasn't like I was trying to make people feel bad about themselves. I was just unaware that I could be a whole person out in the world. And I'm still just barely, I feel, learning to grow into that awareness that I can be all of me. I can admit I got ragey today. I can admit, you know, these negative, so-called negative things about myself and still be lovable and still be loved. This morning I had an incident real quick. I had an incident where the boys were dilly-dallying. Okay. And the same way I am behind really slow drivers on the road, it's like, get the hell out of my way. Right. And so they were like, just like, you know, around the house, and they were like right in my path, right, to walk right there. And I was just very hasty. You know, I'll even kind of like push them a little bit, right? To try to like,
yeah, like get nudge around them. Yeah.
Right? Like, come on. And I was feeling the anxiety of like, we're going to be late. And then I'll kind of like earmark the work thing for a second. We're going to be late. I'm going to be late. I hadn't eaten. So like, that's part of it, right? Is like the self-care. Like I was feeling hangry. I was feeling hangry and impatient, and all started to bubble up like that volcanic, right? And then my explosion was, so I have a thing where when I'm, this is ever since I was little, when I get really, really frustrated and really mad, I want to bite. And I don't know that I've shared this with you before, but like ever since I was a very little girl, like I would go into my room to be mad, because that's the only place that was acceptable to be mad, go into your room, and I would bite myself. I would bite my wrist, like right here on my wrist. And I would bite really, really hard.
I can't see you now, but I'm imagining, yeah, like
it was like the meaty part of the wrist, and bite like really hard, like not so hard to draw blood, but like hard enough to like leave bruises. Yeah. And then I would like have to then cover up those bite marks so that my mom wouldn't see them, because if my mom saw the bite marks, she would like scold me. So it was like, not only was I hiding my anger, yeah, she would see that. Instead of being like, you know, and my mom, she's probably gonna listen to this, like she was doing the best she could, but I'm sure it made her worry about me. But instead of being like, oh my gosh, like what, you bit yourself again, like a compassionate response, it was like, it was a scolding response. So now I was like doubly,
yeah,
right,
of course,
like I'm already ashamed that I'm feeling angry, I'm already ashamed that I bit myself because of it. And now I'm ashamed because my mom saw that I did it and is ashamed of me. Or my perception was that she was ashamed of me, right? It was like, Kristen, you know, it was a shaming. So anyway, this morning, I'm in that
judgmental
moment. Yeah, I'm in that moment at the door, all the things, you know, the dilly-dallying, the volcanic buildup, and I had a granola bar in my hand. It was still in the wrapper. And I literally put that granola bar in my mouth, and I just like, I just bit the granola bar, right? And Julian was watching me. He was watching me. I'm having this like total like animalistic rage moment, right? I'm just like, arr. And so then like I had to discharge that energy somehow, right? And I don't like punch walls. I don't hit people. I don't kick animals. I bite. So we got into the car and we're on the way to school. And I apologized to the boys once I had cooled down a little bit. And then Julian said, "Mom, why did you bite that granola bar?" And I was like, I was feeling really, really mad and really frustrated. And I had to do something with my feelings. And, you know, I'm talking with my five-year-old child about this thing that has brought me so much shame. Now, do I want to be biting things in front of my children when I'm mad? Absolutely not. I want to find another way.
Wait, you were going to say Julian said, "Mom, why did you bite that granola bar?"
Yeah. Yeah. So I had to explain to him. I was feeling really mad. And sometimes when I get mad, I feel like biting something. He's like, "Why?" I'm like, "I don't know. It's something I've always felt ever since I was little. That's the way that I wanted to let out my frustration." I didn't tell him I used to bite myself. I just said, you know, I don't want him to know that about me. He doesn't need to know that. But, you know, I want him to know that people get fucking mad and feel like doing things that are harmful. And it's normal. Now, do I want to continue to be biting things and myself when I'm mad? No, I don't want to. I'd like to go back upstream and avoid that. You know, stop that before it gets to that point, right? Like, I should have woken up a little earlier. I should have fed myself some breakfast, etc. I shouldn't have let them watch so much TV this morning. There are things I could have done to prevent that moment. But again, with this idea of the parts of ourselves, like, I don't want to deny or hide or be ashamed of that part of myself that has to express rage. And I think that the more we suppress that, obviously, the more we suppress that, the bigger and scarier it's going to get. So I'd really try to be honest with people that I feel safe with.
It's really sad and telling that you have that memory that goes back to childhood, because that's exactly what you were doing. It's exactly what you were doing when you were a kid. You were suppressing your anger. Yeah. Which I don't know the exact definition of rage, but it certainly is released anger, if not pent up, probably from lots of suppression. So it's interesting to me that it started as a child. You remember that it's something you've always done. And even though it's maybe taken different shapes or had different iterations, it's still present with you today, even though a part of what you, like this example, is actually not suppressing because it just happened, like you said. And so it's like, it's interesting. Don't you find that interesting that there was a time when you would go and hide to do it? And then we've said, well, now you've got shame for, you know, for having the emotion. And then you have shame for doing the biting. And now your mom is shaming you for doing the biting. And so it's just like this triple threat. And that was all acts of suppression, suppressing this big emotion. And now as an adult, when you really don't have to suppress it, in fact, these people are used to you not suppressing it, you still go back to this this like very, what's the word I'm looking for? Primal instinct. And when I say primal, I don't mean – I mean, actually, I mean it in two ways. It's a double entendre because primal from Kristen's early days, but then also primal as just a species, right? When we're – it's like, you know, it's something within us that just has to release. Now, I think the key is – acknowledging our mistakes, acknowledging our actions to our children, and making sure they know that there are healthy and unhealthy ways of doing things. And just because I'm your mom, it doesn't mean that I've got it all figured out, but I'm trying and I'm doing my best. And that's what we need from you, or whatever that looks like. And I think it's really important that you took the time to apologize. I often do that myself. I have a question though. Do you feel in those moments of biting through a granola bar wrapper that it is nearly a blackout moment? Like you don't have the wherewithal to pause, if I understand the feeling. It just happens, right? And then you look back. Same.
It's not like I'm now going to bite this granola bar. Yeah, it's not. It's not,
as we do with many actions, right?
It's very reactive.
Because what I've learned, you know, I had an incident I'm not ready to talk about, but something happened almost 3.5 years ago. And the incident caused me to immediately call my then therapist and need to speak with her. And that, I mean, that's just a, just to kind of pinpoint a time in history, 3.5 years ago. And I've spoken, I've practiced, I've done a lot of things, a lot of therapy, a lot of healing to not be so reactive. But one of the things that was taught to me and one of the tools that would always come to me would be take a pause or take a break. And I'm like, but you can't. Like I go 0 to 60 in a split second. My brain is not this – and like I said, this was then my then therapist. My brain is not – in a place to pause, because Lord, if I could, I would, because the feeling for me on the other side of an outburst or a, like an outburst sounds crazy, but here we are, is regret and shame and apologies. Oh my God, the apologies. And you know, my people who love me most will always say, cause I will like cry and, you know, just play this scenario over and over again in my head every time I messed up. And they would say, well, but you owned it and you're self-aware and I think you're too hard on yourself. And maybe all of that's true, but whatever it is, it's not a way that I wanted to behave. And I would go on this like apology tour and I would hug my kids and I'd tell them I'm sorry and mommy doesn't feel good and mommy made a mistake and mommy's working on it. Mommy's going to get help and blah, 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 blah. And all again, all of those things are true, but I wanted to stop the actions, the rage, the outbursts, the not having the ability to pause, to breathe, to think, to give myself a break, because the regret that would happen after was so damaging. Without a doubt, the cycles that I would put myself through would – It was so bad, so bad. I mean, it just never stopped. And that actually is part of what led me to my ADHD diagnosis. So rage is something, it's like almost a bad word. And
it is, yeah.
The more that we talk about it, the more, like you said, it's like turning on the light. And I just – I don't know. Like I have so much to say on the topic and I know we've been talking a lot, but I feel like you know, people, you know, even right now, like I have sweaty palms because I'm like, people are going to hear this and think, and I, you know, we talked plenty in advance about comfort level of sharing, and I'm an open book, and, you know, I'm really learning to, you know, like you said earlier, embrace myself and love who I am. And if somebody doesn't like that, then they're not my people and that's okay. We can move forward. But it's scary because it opens up the window of people, you know, who can't relate. And perhaps go a different route to discipline, and then that makes me doubt myself more. But it runs that risk. It's only a risk. And I think the payoff is so much greater because even if five people come to us, maybe that's aiming too high. What if two people came to each of us and said, wow, yeah, I hear you. Thank you. Thanks for talking about that. Because back in the day before I had any kind of grip on this, I felt really isolated and shameful, and that can be a dangerous combination.
So I'm learning that I'm very sensitive. I'm a very sensitive person, more so than I'd like to admit. And that a lot of my rage is the accumulation of all that steam that's built up because of all those ways that I've allowed myself to be pushed or pulled that are really uncomfortable for me, that in the moment I can't admit or accept that they're uncomfortable because I've gotten so used to just like adapting to the world around me and meeting expectations that really when it comes down to it, like I'm not okay. And it's not until I have that moment of explosion where I realized, oh my God, like I didn't realize all of this was building up. And okay, I'm feeling anxious about going to work because this scenario or that scenario. If I really sit down and be honest with myself about how I really feel about things in my life, I can trace them back and see how that pressure's been building up without me even realizing it. You know? So I don't think rage is an individual problem. Rage is a systemic thing that some of us are very sensitive to.
Yes. Yes.
And some people aren't sensitive to it, maybe because they are the kind of people that like to wake up early and get up and go, or they're extroverts, or they're – or whatever. Whatever.
Or
I'm not going to judge
it. They come out in another way.
Totally. But for me
– you know, maybe it's not rage with this person, but it's not being available for their kids.
Totally.
I'm not saying, you know, but it could be like there's trade-offs.
Totally. And, you know, I don't do a lot of the like numbing things. Like I don't drink a lot. I don't smoke. I kind of binge watch TV. That would be like kind of my numbing. So I don't have a lot of like mechanisms in place in my life that allow me to numb. I'm just like always feeling everything. And unless I give myself enough – number one, enough breaks from all that input, all that feeling, and other healthy outlets like exercise, like meditation, like fun, whatever the things are, right, that increase our feel-good hormones, then the rage is going to build up. So I require a very high level of care. I'm very high maintenance. I'm not like outwardly, but like emotionally, I feel like I'm very high. Like, I feel like I need to handle myself with a great more deal of sensitivity and care than I would ever give myself like permission to. Like, who the hell do I think I am?
Yeah.
Getting all this peace and quiet. Who do I think I am? I'm only with my kids half the time. You know, like, what do I have to complain about?
No.
You know what I mean?
No. No, that language has to stop. We really have to stop that language across the board. I mean, in every shape, because here's the thing. This is for sure an age thing, but it's an age thing because I think it's a systemic thing. And that is figuring out, you know, I watched the Alanis Morissette documentary on HBO recently. So good. Forgive me if we mentioned this on our first episode.
No, I don't think I,
But I think she was like 20 years old in a portion of it. And that woman had her head on so damn straight, or she seemed to. And if I look at myself at 20 years old, it was like a totally different story. I know that people evolve and develop at different rates and paces for a world of different reasons. Personally speaking, most of the people in my life who I'm closest to evolved and found themselves and are finding themselves in their late 30s to their through their 40s. And a lot of people even older than that who I'm friends with, you know, in their 50s, 60s, and even 70s are still continuing to evolve, which is extra special. And that's just to say, I think the norm is to evolve a little bit later in life. And part of that, I think, is systemic. Because the more, you know, when we go back to your example of biting, that was hiding and masking a part of Kristen. That was a result of Kristen having to shield or cover up who she was, right? Mm-hmm, and then you grow into an adult at 18 years old and there's all these expectations of college and partner and job and children and all these things. And it's systemic. And we all the while we're tucking down things our parents, you know, the pressures of our parents, the pressures of school, the pressures of finances, the pressures of learning things that were never taught to us, you know, social pressures, all of the media, you know, 9/11, religious pressures. There's a war starting for so many of our peers. We see our peers get taken over with drugs or death, or just we watch, like, we've seen some crazy life, right? And so all of that is to say, during all of this, our generation was really taught to breathe through it, smile, this toxic positivity. And that is just more and more layers of suppression. So whether it comes out in rage, it comes out in self-harm, it comes out in self-loathing, it comes out in overspending, addiction to drugs, alcohol, gambling, abuse, you know, the list could go on. It's gonna come out, whether it's now or later. Now, if we can teach our children and younger generations that normal behavior is to emote and have these feelings and not be the perfectly shiny side of the quarter every second of every day, I think we stand a real chance at being better as a whole. And not, like you said, it's not an individual problem. It is a societal problem, because the expectations are too deep, and they're different for men and women. They're very different. A man, and I know men are probably so sick of this conversation, but a man raging and yelling and hitting his hands on a dashboard is far more widely accepted than a woman ushering her kids down the hall with her hips and ripping a granola bar open with her teeth. And honestly, yeah, you're right. From his perspective, that was probably a little bit scary. But you know what's scarier? Pretending like it never happened. That's what's scarier. So I think I've gone off in several different directions, but I don't care if it's rage or one of those other half dozen things I listed. We are all totally susceptible, for reasons that are a lot out of our control, to having less than healthy ways of being.
Yes.
And another thing I didn't mention is there are people out there who pretend that their emotions don't even exist. So they may not feel any of this. They may not feel any of this. I just listened to a beautiful episode on the pod, which you probably have listened to, where it's a recording of a therapy session between it's called In Love and Love in War.
Oh, the one with Esther Perel?
Gut-wrenching, but it's
– okay. I haven't heard it yet.
Yes. Thank you. I couldn't think of her name. It's so good, but it's a man and a woman And she, he's in Ukraine fighting for his country, and she's here with their younger son, and he's in the Ukraine with their older son. Mm. And is it the Ukraine? Did I just sound like an idiot? In Ukraine?
I don't know.
In Ukraine.
Okay.
With their older son. Cut that post. Okay. And he's in Ukraine with their older son. Research. We've got both. Okay. Anyway. And he has to – they have been married for 20 plus years. They've had a date night every night. They're very deeply in love. They both believe that their souls are connected. But he doesn't compliment her these days. They don't go on dates. They're in two different countries. They have family time once a day for 10 or 20 minutes where they talk over FaceTime. But she misses her husband. And he's like, how can she care about a compliment? I'm fighting for war. Like I'm at war. Mm-hmm. And it was – this is like not even – I mean, this was just such a small part of it, but it was a really beautiful conversation because they ultimately worked it out. But they had to learn together that for his head to be at war, he cannot look into his heart. Mm. Because the pain in his heart, addressing the pain, acknowledging the pain, will cause so much pain, for lack of a better word, that he wouldn't be able to fight anymore. And therefore, he has to just turn it off.
Yeah.
He has to turn it off. And so there are people, and he's, and they acknowledge it, and they're going through this healing together, and they're on this really painful journey. But he is doing what so many people do rather than get an addiction or a rage or whatever. They just turn it all off. And they pretend like none of it's there, and they fester from the inside. And, you know, you see people like that at the store, and I try not to think that they're a-holes or like – I really try to – like you said, people are complex, and I try to think they probably had a really shit day or a really crummy childhood or whatever it is, you know? And – but, yeah, people – we're all only human, and
totally
people do things, all sorts of damage to their kids in all sorts of ways. That's the moral of the story. So we're doing okay, Kristen.
Well, yeah, and we can only hope to improve upon, right? Like our – thank you for saying that. Yes, it's true. We can only hope to improve upon – you know, that's the – again, like we're only human. That's the reality of human evolution, is that every generation hopefully is a little bit better and a little bit better. And maybe it's a lot better, but it's not going to – we're not going to wipe it out in one generation, right? And so – like what you were saying about the apologizing left and right, I think for me, that's my consolation. And this is something I learned from a, like a parenting teacher that I had when Henry was a baby, is that she would talk all about the repair, all about the repair. And you're going to make mistakes. You're going to say the wrong thing. You're going to do the wrong thing. Let's practice the repair. And that for me was honestly a novel idea. I never experienced that. My parents apologizing. I mean, I love them, again, if they're listening, but like that was not, I'm sure that's not something they experienced. It's not that something they knew how to do. It's not something they would even know was okay to admit you were wrong and apologize to your children. That's going to a place that they weren't able to go. And so that's my
consolation. No, and that's such a level of evolvement.
And that's not their fault. They did the best they could, just like I'm doing the best I can. And I'm sure I'm going to have my blind spots. I'm going to have my
– yes,
that my kids are going to look back and say, why did mom that and why did mom that? Okay, that's fine. But I – at least what I tell myself is at least I'm able to go back and repair, which is a big deal to admit to them. You know, like I was wrong. And then to continue to be committed to how can I prevent that? Okay, how can I prevent from that granola bar biting incident in the future, because I don't want to let that keep happening, right? I want to, again, I want to go upstream, figure out why is this, why am I getting to this place in the first place? Has to do with my feelings about my work. It has to do with, you know, again, like all those things that I talked about, like I stayed up too late, so I woke up too late. I hadn't made their lunches. You know, like there's a lot of things that I could do to set myself up for more success in the morning, which I know is a stressful time for me. I'm not a get up and go person. I'm a slow waker. I'm not an early bird. So what can I do? Like sending my kids to school at 10 o'clock is not an option. They have to get there by 8:30. So what can I do to make sure that I'm well enough in the morning to take care of them and not lose my shit repeatedly, you know?
Yeah. And I think, you know, I have two thoughts on what you just said. One is, it's so important to have self-awareness, and you have that. And, you know, to the parents, to the baby boomer parents, the true boomers who are listening to any of these podcasts, our generation is being taught to look inward. And when you look inward, you have to peel back so many layers of the onion to get to the true essence of who you are. And with that comes our experiences through childhood and our perceptions on the world. And even though it's not all roses and butterflies, it doesn't mean that we are not eternally grateful and don't understand where we came from compared to where you came from. And mm-hmm. It is no shame on those generations. It is merely the next volume in the arrangement of encyclopedias or whatever you call those. I don't know that a set of encyclopedias. And we're just learning as we go. And it's something I too struggle with. I can hear it in some of the way that you're phrasing things. It's something I struggle with, that I don't want my parents to ever take these things the wrong way or feel offended, like we're calling them out, because I don't think that's what's happening. I think it's just a point of where we've gone, like where we go as a society, because when you look at how their parents behaved when they were growing up,
right,
and how their parents behaved when their parents were growing up, like it's all part of the journey.
Totally.
And so I know that that's like a hard thing, and it's something like a lot of stuff I feel like I hold back because I don't want to hurt somebody's feelings, and that's also totally like part of this people-pleasing stuff. So, but there's also respect and blah, blah, blah. The other thing I was going to say is, and I believe, you know, without knowing your parents well, but knowing mine very well, I believe they're all worthy of respect. Like I also believe there's lots of parents who aren't worthy of respect, but mine and yours are not them.
Absolutely.
And the other thing I was going to say is, you know, I think I lost one of them, but the self-awareness is key, and being able to say, you know what, I don't like that. Sometimes it takes those moments. Not sometimes. It usually takes those moments to happen to evoke change, right? Yeah. It usually takes some thing
a pain
to
point.
Be able to see it, right? We have to shine a light on it to know that it's there. Like I always tell anybody that I'm working with, the people who I love, my family, my friends, if there's a problem, you got to let me know. Or if there's a problem with me, not with anything else. If you got a problem with me, if you don't tell me and you just get mad or you just go away or we just don't talk or we just break up or whatever it is, that's so unfair because you've never given me the opportunity to fix it. How did I get here? I see it's my brain. I forget where I go sometimes. I forget.
That's okay. No, I think it's – well, anyway. The awareness and helping each other be aware. And I mean, but you know, we all have different relationships with giving people constructive criticism, you know, because if you bring something up to someone – and they're not open to it, you can be like, okay, forget that. I'm not going to confront you know, that person with that. But yeah, back to the parent thing, totally. And I've said to my mom, like, I've said to my mom, you know, I've said to her, I'm amazed at how well you parented given the things that you've been through in your life, you know, as if to share like a compliment with her, because I don't want it to all be critique and criticism, right? But like you said, like considering the realities, it's like, wow, like let's focus on the positive too, right? Like all the ways in which they did a lot better than they could have or should have, you know? So, yeah.
Well, and at the end of the day, they produced us and we're doing all right.
Yeah, we are. I hope so. I think so.
Rage and all.
Most of the time. No, but you know what? Like, I know that part of my, I mean, we could get into a whole thing on perfectionism, but, you know, I grew up doing musical theater. I grew up always performing. Since that time I was 5 years old, I was on stage performing, and so much of my like self was, you know, how do I look? How do I sound on literally on stage?
Yes.
Right? Yeah. And doing whatever I could, always doing whatever I could to be liked and to be liked by as many people as possible. So, I mean, that really doesn't leave a whole lot of room for like facing the shadows and being honest about the hard stuff, right? Because I was essentially like a child actor, like, I mean, not like to the extreme of, but I was. And I learned that, you know, certain things belong on stage and certain things don't. So I feel like part of this journey for me right now in my life is like really going back and looking at pieces that I hadn't wanted to look at. And it's hard. And sometimes it's, you know, like, okay, I'm a lot lazier than I thought I was. Like now that I'm, you know, separated and I live in my own home and I don't have my kids half the time, like I'm not hitting the gym and journaling. Like, you know what I mean? Like I'm kind of lazy. And like, that's something I have to face about myself. That's okay. Nobody else's.
Your body needs rest.
It does. It does. But like, I think I had this perception, oh, if I'm free from this and that, then I'm going to be this, right? And it's like, no, I'm still just me. I still have my vices and my virtues. Like, you know.
Wherever you go, there you are.
Yeah. I'm glad we did this, even though we weren't feeling our best or fitting it into our schedules perfectly. We just did it anyway.
It went really beautifully.
I agree. Emily, what do you want to share with the listeners about you and what you're up to and where they can find and follow you? Go. Promo.
Oh, well, thanks.
Yeah.
Promo. So I also have a new podcast. It's the Sorry Less podcast. It's available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and I think that's it for now. Oh, and Anchor. I don't know if you can actually find it there. But follow the Sorry Less podcast on Instagram and on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Perfect. Okay, so there's a Sorry Less Instagram. I'll put links to your pod in the notes for this show. And yeah, anything else? Life insurance?
Well, I'm also a life insurance agent. Yeah.
Emily is my life insurance agent.
Thanks for sharing. Yes, yeah. I am. You're a lovely client. Yeah, so I am an independent life insurance agent. So it means I work with all the carriers so that I can really help find the not just the best price, which I can do, but the best product suited for your specific needs. I'm licensed in, I think, 10 different states. So if you got a friend around the country, I could probably help them too.
All right.
But everybody needs it. Oh, yeah.
Everybody needs it. Even you stay-at-home mamas. All right, Em. Thank you so much for
especially
this time.
Thank you.
I love and appreciate you. Have a great rest of your day, okay?
I appreciate you so much. Thanks. You too. Enjoy binge watching. Hey, real quick, what are you going to watch?
I watch The Office. I'm actually finishing up the entire series. I just started season 9 last night. So whenever I can, I squeeze in a couple episodes. And when I'm done watching The Office, I got to get off my ass and start working out. So I'm just trying to enjoy it while I can. All right. That's your cue. Your phone's ringing.
Yes, it is. All right. Thank you, Kristen. Okay. This was great. I'll talk with you soon. Okay. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
So there it is, folks. The good, the bad, and the ugly. We were definitely some moms getting real on this episode. And I really thank you for being here to listen in. So if you like what you heard, please rate the show, review it, leave a comment, share it with somebody who you think would benefit from hearing what we had to talk about. And if you'd like to be a guest on my show, please let me know. I am making my list of episodes and would love to include you if you want to come and share with me with, you know, with intention and with honesty and vulnerability and kindness and love always for the benefit of everybody who listens. So we have a great week, and I'll see you back here soon. Thank you.